I want to show you a couple. Do I have one video clip or do I have two, brother? Sound man. Yoo-hoo. Sound guys. What's their names? Steve? What clips do I have again for the 2015? No, I have. Okay, let's do that one first. I'm going to show you. This is just some miracles that we've had just here in the last several months. And then we'll show you the second one. I have to explain that one to you. So watch this first one. Be blessed. It's got sound right from the beginning. This girl was healed in Orlando. She just came from the doctor. This boy was baptized in the Spirit in Toronto. I heard she was just competing in the Olympics here the other day. People were drunk in the Holy Spirit in Johannesburg. She was so drunk in the Spirit, she broke two chairs. Woman was delivered of demons in Florida. This is in Puerto Rico. She walked out of her wheelchair, was healed. This little girl was drunk in the Spirit for hours, never got up. The whole deaf section of this church in Puerto Rico got healed. It's in Springfield, Ohio. She was drunk in the Spirit. That's a cross made of crutches and canes and walkers. Come on, give the Lord a big hand clap. Amen. So I'm going to show you a quick video clip here. Some of it's in Spanish, but it's interpreted so you all understand what they're saying. But we were just in Puerto Rico in March. And so while we were there in Puerto Rico and we were ministering in March, at the beginning of the one service, the woman was in this wheelchair. And there was about 1,000 people there. And so I saw her and she was in terrible pain. And so she came forward. And so I, right at the beginning of the service, I just pulled her out of the wheelchair. And she stood out and she walked. And she was totally healed. And she didn't want to touch the wheelchair again. And so she was real excited. So when that happened, a woman sitting in the deaf section, they only had like 6 or 7 deaf people. But the lady that was signing was trying to sign as fast as she could what was happening, you know, as far as the miracle. And one lady was 44 years old, and for 40 years she'd been stone deaf in both ears. And she had gotten a disease when she was 4 years old and lost all of her hearing. So she had to, you know, learn completely over again as far as how to sign and everything else. So she jumped up and she said to the interpreter, she said, if God can heal that woman out of the wheelchair, he can heal my ears. Come on, somebody. So she came up and she had to bring the interpreter because she couldn't speak and I didn't know sign language. So she said to me through the sign language interpreter, she said, I want to hear. So I said, well, great. And so I just put my hand on her ears. And as soon as I took my hands away, that was what the picture that you saw. Blood was coming out of her ears and she could hear for the first time in 40 years. Come on. Then the other 5 or 6 deaf people jumped up and they ran down to the front. And they all were healed. So I ruined the deaf ministry in one service. How about that? So praise God. So that was pretty wild. Okay, but in that same church, I went and I told the people, we want to do an outreach. And we want to do an outreach of praying for the sick in public, and we're going to go to the mall. So the next day, I said, meet me at the church at such and such a time. And if you want to go with us and do that, we're going to do that tomorrow. So what do you think, Pastor Rick, 11 o'clock? Is that all right? Yeah, so 11 o'clock, if you want to pray for the sick with us here in Rochester, meet us here tomorrow morning at 11 o'clock, all right? And we'll train you on this stuff. But so that's what I did at that church. Well, I was stunned when over 150 people showed up, more than that's here tonight. And it was just absolutely packed. So we went on this mall. Can you imagine 150 people that are healing the sick in the mall? I mean, we freaked out. I mean, the security didn't know who to get rid of. We literally were from one end of the mall to the other healing the sick. And so now you're going to see some people who have never done this in their lives and watch what Jesus does. Watch this. We're getting ready to go out and evangelize and kickstart people in the mall here in Puerto Rico. And we're really excited. We're with Pastor David.
Praise the Lord.
And with some of his kids and some people from the church. A whole bunch of people are going to meet us. We're going to go to the mall.
150 people. We're going to go.
150 people. We're all going to go to the mall.
And we're going
to
meet at one certain place in a few minutes.
It's going to be awesome at the mall here in Puerto Rico.
And so West Puerto Rico. Mall.
We're excited for it. Watch for miracles.
The whole group here that we're going to kickstart today. Look at all of them. All these people have come here to the mall in Mayagüez, Puerto Rico. And they're all going to go out with us. And we're going to evangelize, and we're going to heal the sick and cast out demons. They're getting ready to do it. We're going to do it.
Ese que me duele mucho, yo le dije, no, haz lo que no podías hacer, dóblate.
He said, bend down.
Y empezó, y ahora, siente el dolor, y yo, no, se fue.
Wow.
She got healed?
Right now, eso fue ahora.
Yeah.
Awesome.
It's going to be great.
Just, ¿quién lo hizo?
So we just pray right now for supernatural encounters. And may boldness come on you like never before. And then, so then put your hand on her back. And then just say, all pain go in the name of Jesus. Now do this. Bend over, touch your toes, see if you feel better. Is it a little better? Is it? Ah, that's good. Ah.
Should have gotten all this.
No, keep going.
Okay.
Turn it up a little bit, guys. Guys, turn it up a little bit.
She asked the girl, the lady, if she has pain here. She said here and the knee. And then when she prayed, she asked again, and she said, I don't have pain.
It does.
On my shoulder.
Okay.
Now watch this girl. This is an American girl working there.
Don't hurt me.
She can't lift her shoulder. She hurt her shoulder. Watch how fast this goes.
So right now, all pain go in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Now, lift it.
No
what
way.
Happened?
No way, you gotta be kidding me.
Yeah, it's true.
Oh my God. I've been with this day for like a week.
No.
Really?
Awesome.
Oh my God, hallelujah.
Go like this.
Oh my God. Wow.
That's awesome.
Okay, say it in English.
So what happened?
Say it in English.
Well, there was a girl in a store, and she was...
Now, she's speaking of the girl who just got healed.
She was testifying about what...
Guys, turn it up.
...did with her body when Tom prayed for her. And
you didn't know?
No, I didn't know that.
Wow.
I just heard, and I knew that it was God, because there was a lot of people praying for others, so... I knew that it was God.
Yeah.
Wow. And it was exciting, because I was just walking, and I heard... Oh my God, like, they believe in it. So,
wow,
that means,
yes,
on the phone to someone that didn't believe in God, because she was saying, it was God, because I had a pain for like a month, and now I don't have it.
Wow.
Like,
isn't
you
that
remember
crazy?
The pain that I had from the phone, and she was like saying, like, I have that, you remember, now I don't have it.
That is so awesome. That's amazing.
Woohoo! Come on, give Jesus a big hand clap. What she was saying, if you couldn't hear it, was this. She said she was walking out of the mall. She was finished praying for people, and then we were all going to meet outside. As she walked by this girl, she was crying hysterically on the phone and said, God sent an angel to pray for my arm. Come on, somebody. She said, I don't know who this guy is. He just comes, he prays for me, and I receive Jesus. So she called her mom in New Jersey and told her mom, I receive Jesus now in the mall. Come on, somebody. So this is what I want to do quickly. James, will you come? Brad, will you come? Just stand here on the white line, both you guys. And... there you are. Come. Just stand here. Thank you, Jesus. This lady here that you got healed tonight, come. James's wife. I'm sorry. I'm terrible with names. I'm awful. Forgive me. James's wife. Sorry. I'm terrible at this. Amy, there we go. My brother right here. No, you. Yeah, come. Yeah, stand down here, all right? Okay. So, I haven't done this in a long time, but while we were worshiping the Lord, I had a vision of doing this. So, just all six of you lift your hands. Everyone stretch your hands to these. Father, in the name of Jesus, I just pray right now for blessing on these. Lord, I just pray for increase. I pray for hunger, for miracles, for signs and wonders. Lord, I pray that you'd use them. May cripples walk. May blind eyes see. God, use them for your kingdom like never before. In the name of Jesus, Lord, bless them. Come on, just right now, help us pray. Right now, we bless these people in the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Now, listen. I haven't done this in a long time. But the Holy Spirit said to me, you guys are going to go to Walmart for 15 to 20 minutes, and God's going to give you an encounter with 10 people to pray healing for. Go. Come back and tell us what God does. So, break up in groups of two, Brad, will you? All right. 5-second prayer. All right. Pastor said it. Anything can happen and probably will. So the night is young. You don't know what's going to happen. All right. Well, let me just show you this. If you didn't know this, we've got a number of different resources out there on the book table. That'll be a real powerful thing in your life. Pastor, I know, really enjoys this. This is called Revival Fire. This was put together in about 1996, about 20 years ago. Still, it's the most powerful thing we have in our whole book table. It's a conglomeration of worship mixed with all the old preachers that have gone to be with Jesus. And so there's about 20 different speakers. It's not a sermon, but there's two CDs. I'm telling you, there's nothing wilder than this. We've had people get tickets from the police for driving too fast when they were listening to this. All right. So this is dangerous, but that is wild, wild, wild. Then I wrote a book on the subject of divine healing and how to minister divine healing. We just called it the Jesus School of Miracles. You can get that if you'd like. And then we've also got some soaking music out there, just piano worship, if you like that kind of stuff. And so you'll be blessed by it. All right. Well, just for a couple minutes here, go over to John 12. This is wild. Hallelujah. I love it. I haven't done this in a long time. I haven't done that in a while. Not since last year. Last year was the first time I did it in 10 years, and this is the second time. So, if you go on YouTube, you can see a YouTube video where I did it once in South Africa, and they came back with, it was like Book of Acts testimonies. I mean, unbelievable. Yeah. So John 12 says this, then 6 days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany where Lazarus was, who had been dead, whom he raised from the dead. And they were there. They made him a supper and Martha served. But Lazarus was one of those who sat at the table. Mary took a pound of very costly oil of spikenard, anointed the feet of Jesus, wiped his feet with her hair, and the house was filled with fragrance of oil. But one of the disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, who would betray him, said, why wasn't the fragrant oil sold for 300 denarii and given to the poor? This he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and he had the money box. Come on, right? But here, this woman, Mary, went and anointed the feet of Jesus with very costly. Everyone say very costly. So she anointed his feet with very costly oil. From all understanding, it would probably be about $60,000 to $70,000 offering at once. She poured it all on him. And the Bible doesn't say that she didn't take it like this, okay? She didn't take it like this and take it and put a little drop on his feet. The Bible says she smashed it and poured it all on him. So there was no way of repairing that. Come on, somebody. And she poured it all over him, and Jesus, it talks about this in three of the Gospels because of this offering. In fact, in Luke's Gospel, he says, wherever the Gospel's preached, it'll be told this offering that this woman is given. And so it just kind of tells us something about giving God something that's costly. There's something about giving God something that's costly. I mean, I could tell you of time after time when the Lord pricked my heart that I gave something that cost me. I've been in ministry 30 years now. I've never met a person at death's door who said, man, I wish I would have played a lot more golf. I've never met a person ready to die who said, I wish I would have bought much more clothes. And I've never met someone who's on death's door who says, man, I wish I would have bought a bigger bass boat, or I wish I would have just partied a lot more. You know what they all say? Everyone says, you know what they all say on their deathbed? I should have given more to God. Is that true, Pastor? I mean, he's been in ministry a long time too, and he'll tell you the exact same thing. Every single person, when we get to the end of our lives, we realize that natural things really don't mean anything, but it's spiritual, it's eternal things. Come on, somebody. Amen. So it's eternal things. And so there's something about learning the art of just sowing unto God something that costs us. You know, sometimes we give things that don't cost us, you know. I don't know if you knew this or not, but one day the dollar bill and the $100 bill got into a conversation. Did you hear about that? Yeah, the dollar bill and the $100 bill got into a conversation one day. One day the $100 bill said to the dollar bill, "What? How are things going?" He said, "Not too good." He said, really? He said, how about you, $100 bill? He says, oh, man, things are great. He said, I just was in Rome, went on to Paris, went on over to Cairo, and then made another stop in Athens before I went and came back to New York City. And he said, really? And so $100 bill said, how about you, dollar bill? Where you been lately? Dollar bill said, well, I went from the first church, and then I went over to the second church, and then from the second church onto the third church. Bad joke. Okay, sorry. Bad joke. But everyone say something very costly. Now, I may not have shared this here, but if I have, forgive me. So, but I play both keyboard and guitar. And I don't play as well as Brad or him, but I play keyboard and guitar. And so, but I used to always bring my guitar with me to churches, and I would just ask the band, can I play with you guys? And so I had this rosewood mother of pearl inlay, beautiful Dean guitar. And so I had this revival breakout in Wisconsin, and we were supposed to be there for 4 days, and we ended up staying there for 4 weeks. Just the meetings just kept on and kept on and kept on and kept on, and some great miracles took place and stuff. So the one service I was up, and I was standing up on the stage, and I was playing, and the pastor played the keyboard, and so I'm playing my guitar, and I have my eyes shut. And there was a young man that gave a testimony that he'd been free of drugs for a year. So this young man was in the back row with his mom and his brother. And so as I'm playing and worshiping the Lord, my eyes fall on the young man in the last row. And the Holy Spirit says, at the end of the service, give that young man your guitar. So I just closed my eyes and pretend like I didn't hear it and just kept playing. No, I'm just kidding. So I went into a war in my mind, and I said, Lord, he doesn't need this guitar. I know none of you holy Indiana people would never think like this, so praise the Lord. But I went and I said, Lord, he doesn't need this guitar. I need this guitar. And the Holy Spirit said, Tom, you have a greater need to give it than he does to receive it. So I had just bought a brand new $120 hard shell case to take on the airplane with me. I mean, it still had the sticker on it even. And I'm like, oh, God, you know. So at the end of the service, I took the guitar. And I, the service was over. I was done preaching and done praying for people. So I took the guitar and I went over and I put it in the case. I don't know. Maybe I was hoping everyone would go home or something and he'd be gone. And, oh, God, see, I can't give it now, you know. So I don't know. But so I'm putting the guitar away, and it was almost like the whole crowd just left. Just everyone left that night very, very quickly. So I picked the guitar up, and I'm like, wow, everybody really left quick tonight. So I look around, and as I look around, this young man is walking up to me. And he points at me, and he says, man, that's the most beautiful guitar I've ever seen. Man, I wanted to slap him right in the mouth. And so before I could think about it, I took the guitar, God's honest truth, and I just said, be blessed in the name of Jesus. And so I gave him the guitar. And so as I gave him the guitar, he started weeping, his mother started weeping, and his brother started weeping. And his brother, who sat through that whole service, nothing touched his heart. But that simple offering, that simple thing, that simple alabaster box that I gave, and when I gave that thing, it touched his heart, and he was radically born again. Come on, isn't that something? Right there in the church. And so this brother who had been living a homosexual lifestyle, very anti-God, and boom, it just softened his heart like that. And so here he's weeping, I'm weeping, the mother and the brother. So we continued the meeting. So we were there a couple weeks ministering. And a couple weeks later, I went home. I used to live in Kansas City, and just for a short pit stop. So I was living in Kansas City. I was home, and so I went and I said, you know what, I'm going to go to church. It's a prayer night. I just need to get charged up. So I just went and I grabbed my Bible. I had my baseball hat on. It was prayer night, so I just put my baseball hat on, and I walked in for the prayer night. And so as I walk in, the secretary says, she goes, Tom Scarella. She said, I was hoping I'd see you. And I said, what? She said, someone left you something here. I said, nobody knows I even go to this church. She goes, I don't know. They don't even go to this church. They just came in, left it, and they said, don't tell them who we are. And so she reaches behind her desk and she pulls out, get this, brother, a $5,000 Taylor guitar. When she does, the Holy Spirit says to me, I was watching to see if you'd be faithful with that $500 guitar to sew it. And then I would release this $5,000 guitar. Come on, somebody. Come on, amen. So there's something about learning and catching the spirit of giving. Catching the spirit of giving. Come, a giving, amen. Everyone say, catch the spirit of giving. There's something, when you catch the spirit of giving, evangelism becomes easy because it all makes sense. Everything in the kingdom is about giving. Everything in the kingdom is about seed. What they're doing right now there at Walmart is they're sowing seed. Come on, somebody. Right? What we're doing during the offering, we're sowing seed. What you did during worship, I don't know if you know this or not, but you sowed seed. If you sowed nothing to God, don't worry, you'll get it back here later. Come on, right? So that's why we worship. We worship because we sow seed back to God. If you give God something, it comes back. Come on, somebody. Amen. And so I want you to know that there's really something about this whole thing with giving. It's not about just meeting a need. It's really not. I mean, we've got needs as a ministry. Our computers are all screwed up and we need new computer. We need all kinds of stuff. This church, I'm sure, has needs and stuff. It's not about just meeting a need. It's about obeying the Lord. Come on, somebody. Amen. And so as we begin to catch the spirit of giving, we catch the spirit of revival. When we catch the spirit of giving, we catch the spirit of revival. Come on, right? And God begins to bless us back on every single side. So, ushers, if you guys are ready, jump to your feet. If you can grab the offering envelopes, brother. If you need an offering envelope, just raise your hands real high. Up in the front, brother, we need a few. Maybe you should have them back there or something so you're ready for that. But if you make a check, just make it to the church, to New Life. New Life Church. New Life Church. Hallelujah. Boy, we freaked those guys out, didn't we? And they got up here on the line. They thought they were just getting prayer. They didn't know they were getting drafted, you know? So if you make out a check, make it to New Life Church. Father, we pray over this. We ask you to bless the gift and the giver. Lord, multiply it back to them again. Lord, may we learn the art of breaking our alabaster box. We ask in the name of Jesus. And everyone said, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, as they're serving you, I want to just take you where I feel that God's leading us here tonight, to the book of Judges, chapter 7. Judges 7, and just the Holy Spirit orchestrated this whole night. It's just so funny, because Pastor Rick was saying things he has no idea what I was going to preach on, and he didn't know that I was going to call those guys up here, and so, yeah, praise God. Isn't that funny? Judges 7. Then Jerubbabel, that is Gideon, and all the people that were with him rose early and encamped beside the well of Herod, that the camp of the Midianites was on the north side of them by the hill of Morah on the valley. And the Lord said to Gideon, the people that are with you are too many, right, for me to give the Midianites into their hands, and lest Israel claim glory for itself against me, saying, my own hand has saved me. Now, therefore, proclaim in the hearing of the people, saying, whoever is fearful and afraid, let him depart and at once from Mount Gilead. And 22,000 people returned and 10,000 remained. You talk about a church split. Can you imagine? You're already outnumbered 10 to 1. And God says, no, Gideon, you got too many. Come again, Lord. Your math does not make sense. We're already outnumbered 10 to 1 here, and you say, I have too many. So the Lord says, yeah, just get up and tell all the fearful people, go home. So 22,000 get up and walk out. Come on, right? And so then it says, so there remained 10,000. The Lord said to Gideon, the people are too many. Still bring them down to the water, and I will test them there for you. Now watch this. He says, I'll test them there for you. And there it shall be that one of you shall, I shall say to you, this one shall go with you. The same will go with you. And whomsoever I say, this one shall not go with you. The same shall not go. And he brought the people down to the water. And the Lord said to Gideon, everyone who laps up from the water with his tongue as a dog laps, you shall set apart by himself. Likewise, everyone who gets down on his knees to drink. And the number of those who lapped, putting their hand to their mouth, was 300 men. And the rest of the people that got down on their knees to drink water. And the Lord said to Gideon, by the 300 men whom lapped, I will save you and deliver the Midianites into your hand. And let all the other people go, every man to his place. So here, roughly 300. So God took it from 32,000 down to 300. Come on, right? So 32,000 all the way down to 300. And so God was saying, listen, there is a water test I want to give the people of Israel. You know what? God does the same thing with the church today. Jesus is watching how we drink. Come on, somebody. Everyone say that out loud. Jesus is watching how we drink. So he's watching how we drink from the Holy Spirit. He watches. You don't think he does? How many of you remember? He was even watching the offering. How many of you remember that in the temple? When the woman came and put in, come on, how many of you remember that, right? So he was watching that. He was observing that whole thing. So you know what? God watches us. He's not just obscurely watching us, but he's testing us to see where our hunger is. Come on. This whole thing is by hunger. So go over to the book of Isaiah. Y'all okay tonight? You're kind of freaking me out. You're a little quiet here, so. Isaiah. I grabbed a different Bible here. So Isaiah chapter, there it is, 44. Isaiah 44. Yet now hear, O Jacob, my servant, and Israel, whom I've chosen. Thus says the Lord, who made you and formed you from the womb, who will help you. Fear not, O Jacob, my servant, and you, Jeshurun, whom I've chosen. For I will, now watch this, I will pour water on everybody because they all need it. Right? Oh, what does that say? Oh, I'll pour water on who? Oh, only on the thirsty. I'll pour water on him that is thirsty and floods on the dry ground. I'll pour my spirit on your descendants and my blessing on your offspring. So here God was saying, I'm reserving my water. I'm reserving the rain for the thirsty. So God is looking for the thirsty. Constantly he was looking. He was looking there with Gideon in Judges 7. Here in Isaiah 44, he's looking for the thirsty. Look over in Isaiah 55. Isaiah 55. God is constantly looking for the thirsty. Always. He always does everything with the thirsty. And he does nothing with the half-hearted. It's good preaching, Brother Tom. Keep going. I will. I just had to encourage myself there for a second. Come on, right? So here he says this. He says, so in Isaiah 55, he says, ho, everyone that thirsts, come to the waters. And you that have no money, come, buy and eat. Yes, come, buy wine and milk. How do you buy something from God? Is he on American currency? Is he on the yen? Is he on, you know, I mean, what currency has gone on? Is he on the Canadian dollar? Is he on the Aussie dollar? You know how you buy from God? There's only one way to buy from God. It's by hunger. Your thirst is the only way that you can buy from God. And so here he says, listen, ho, everyone that thirsts, he gives us the key right away in the beginning of the verse. Come to the waters, you have no money. Come buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk. Come buy without money and without price. You who spend that which is not bread and satisfy, let your soul delight itself in abundance. So this whole thing is about thirst. Old Testament is about thirst. The whole New Testament is about thirst. God does everything by thirst. Everything is done in the kingdom by thirst. God took 12 knuckleheads through the ministry of Jesus. He didn't take 12 theologians. Come on, somebody. But he took 12 people, 12 nobodies, 12 guys that were fully employed, had a regular job. Come on. Probably had a 401k, worked for their dad, had a nice IRA. Their whole career was planned out. And this Jesus comes along. You read it in Matthew chapter 4. And he looks at them and he says, drop what you have and come follow me. And he walks. And these guys left everything. The Bible says they left their nets and their father's boats, and they followed him. They never heard his sermon. He was never on TBN. Come on. They never saw his Facebook. They never saw him on YouTube. Come on, somebody. He wasn't ordained by the high bishop, you know, down in Springfield or wherever it is. Come on, somebody. They never saw his ordination papers. Come on. They never saw any of those things. They never saw who's your covering. They didn't know who is. None of that stuff. Come on, somebody. But they knew there was something about this Jesus and there was a hunger in them for the supernatural. And they went and they followed him. I just wonder. Now, I can't prove it, but you can't disprove it. But I wonder if Jesus made that proposal to others and they just said, no way. I wonder. I just wonder sometimes. Catherine Kuhlman. How many remember who Catherine Kuhlman was? Anyone know Catherine Kuhlman? Great healing evangelist. She always said her whole life, I was never God's first choice. God came to many others and they all said no. Billy Graham, who's still alive today, has always said his entire life, I was never God's first choice. Never. But others said no and I said yes. Come on. All of these great men and women of God, one after another, even the apostles, you know. Here it was. Who was God looking for? He was looking for the thirsty that would do radical things. Come on, somebody. You know, you want to read about radical people. You want to watch movies about. You ever go and say, you never go to, well, of course, we don't go to Blockbuster anymore because they're not in existence anymore, but. You know, if you were going to go see a movie, you don't say, I want to watch a movie about nothing. Someone who did nothing with their life. No one would watch it. Come on, somebody, right? You would never say, I want to read a book about somebody who did nothing. No, you want to read a book about somebody who did something radical. I'll just say it like this, you know. Ladies, you're so much smarter than us guys. You already know that, though, so I'm not telling you anything new, right? Us guys. Women always want to know, what is he thinking? Nothing. Nothing's going on in here. They're just, air is just going through. There's nothing going on up there. Come on, right? But, you know, a man and a woman go to the movies. If you go to a movie and you sit down at the movie, you know, you ladies, you're so smart. You're enjoying the movie. You've got the popcorn and you lean over to say to your husband or your boyfriend or whatever. You go to say, you know, excuse me. Could you go get me something else to drink or something like that? He says, shh, I am Spider-Man now. Us men, we become who we are watching. We are no longer watching Andrew Luck. We are Andrew Luck now. That's us. Quiet woman, I am him. I am Iron Man. I am no longer watching this movie. This is me now. Right? Isn't that true? I'll prove it to you. Go to the mall this week. Go to any mall anywhere in Indiana. I dare you. Go to any mall and you'll see tons of men, grown men, children, all of them are wearing jerseys of other people. Come on. Why? Because we want to be something great. We want to, come on, right? We want to vicariously live ourselves through that other person. Come on. Is that true? Come on, somebody. Is that true? Absolutely, it's true. And so that's why I say to you tonight that there's something about having a hunger for God that begins to raise you up in God's, whatever you want to call it, hierarchy or whatever you want to call it. I know for myself, I got hungry for God years ago. That's how I got saved. I got hungry for God. My parents, they were not too happy with me getting saved. They were actually pretty upset about it. They send the Lutheran pastor to talk me out of it. And so he went and tried to argue with me, but I had been reading my Bible and listening to Jimmy Swagger, two dangerous things. And so, I mean, I was just ready. I was loaded for bear, you know. And so, and he said, the Lutheran pastor said to my mom, you know, this will blow over. Yeah, it's blown over about 34 years now. Come on, somebody. 34 years, never backslid one time. 34 years, I've only lived for Jesus. That's all I've done ever since I was 16 years old. That's all I've ever done is live for him. Amen. So here I am. I get hungry for God and I get born again. Now, my friends start talking about this Holy Ghost thing. So I was like, God, I want that Holy Ghost thing. I want that tongue. I used to call it the tongues thing. Give me that tongues, you know. I didn't know if they had them hanging up in the church or something. I didn't know what it was. But then my youth pastor, he had no sense either than any more than I did. So he went and told me, well, you got to drive to Fargo to go get the Holy Ghost. So I thought I had to drive over 100 miles to Fargo, North Dakota, just to get the Holy Ghost, you know. And so I'm like, oh, okay, I guess that they must have the Holy Ghost hanging up there or something. I don't know, on the walls or something. And so I went, and when it was time for the service, at the end of the service, I literally was in the back of the church, 1,500 people in that service, and I had one foot in front of the other like this. I was like at a track race almost. I was just waiting for a Holy Ghost. I would have settled for holy. I wasn't even waiting for ghost. If he would have said, holy smokes, it's hot in here, I would have already been up there. I mean, I was so hungry. I was wanting the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And when it came time for prayer ministry, he went and said, okay, I'm told some people want the baptism of the Spirit. Come on. And so we went to this upper room and he read the scripture to us. And as he was reading Acts chapter 2, I just lifted my hands and I just started speaking in tongues. I was just so hungry. I said, God, this is my night. No matter what, this is the night I'm going to get it. Come on, somebody. Pastor was talking about the woman with the issue of blood. What, this woman with the issue of blood. Here she is in the midst of a crowd. Jesus is not in a healing mode. Come on. He's not in a ministry mode. It's not a service. He's not teaching, nothing. But she says, by her own thirst, by her own hunger, as soon as I touch his clothes, I'll be healed. Is that true? And she, the Bible says, presses through the crowd and touches him. And when she touches him, the Bible says, virtue or power went out of him into her. And he felt it and she felt it. Come on, somebody. That presence. We were just singing about the presence. Come on. She felt it and he felt it. Everyone say that loud. She felt it and he felt it. Well, how did she connect to it, though? By her thirst. By her thirst. We were in Western Minnesota. We were ministering in this church. And this little girl came to the service. She was 12 years old. She had gone to the doctor. The doctor diagnosed her years before having, I always get it mixed up, not pigeon-toed is in, so duck feet is out. She had duck feet, severe duck feet, which meant her hips were turned in, were turned outward. So her feet went like this. So she could not run like other kids because she had no balance. So if she went to run, she would just fall on her face. So she had gone to the doctor, and the doctor said, well, this whatever problem she has in her hips is none better. It's actually gotten worse. So he told the mother and the father, we have to do surgery on your daughter, and we have to break her hips and turn her feet outwardly, and we have to do the same procedure every 2 years. So the girl told the mom and dad in the doctor's office, we're going to church tonight, and I'm going to be healed. If nobody else gets it, I'll get it tonight. Come on, somebody. Now, in that church, it was a rather large church. There was probably about 600-700 people there. And we were having microphone trouble all night. And so the mic kept buzzing and carrying on and stuff. And so in the midst of all of this, I went and I was up on top of the stage. And Susie was with me. And so we're up on top of the stage. And so I said, if you need healing tonight, come on down to the front. Well, literally, 400 people walked forward. I mean, it was like most of the crowd moved forward. I'm like, holy cow. So I told my wife, I said, well, you start over there and I'll just start over here and we'll just kind of meet in the middle. So I'm trying to work with the ushers, and the ushers were driving me batty. All right. And so the ushers came forward, the catchers. Here's how the catchers came forward. Their eyes are shut and their hands are down. Okay, this woman in front of you is 365 pounds. If she falls, you're going to lose your front teeth, all right? I'm like, hey, ushers, open your eyes, pick your hands up, come on, and usher, catch, man, help me, brother. You know, and so the ushers are like, God's honest truth, I wish I was joking. I mean, their arms were locked together. And so So now I'm irritated because I've got all these people. Literally, everyone walked straight all the way up to the stage, and the stage was about this high. And so I'm leaning over. I'm telling the ushers, unlock your hands, open your eyes, and put your hands up like this, okay? I'm like, you stay there. You stay. And so I'm pointing like that. And as I'm pointing like that, I lean over this little girl. And the little girl has her hands up and her eyes shut like that. And when I brushed her arm, God's honest truth, I heard pop, 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 pop. I thought it was the mic. It was the girl's hips started breaking under the power of God, and her feet started turning like that. Come on, somebody. I never even prayed for the girl. And the girl started screaming, ran and jumped in the mother's arms, started running laps around the church, screaming at the top of her lungs, crying. The mom's crying. And the mother came up and testified, "This is, we already got our miracle." I'm like, "You got a miracle? I'm trying to put some intelligence in these ushers here. I mean, how'd you get a miracle here?" You know, come on, somebody. You know how she did it? Was by thirst. Was by hunger. Come on, everyone say hunger. By hunger. There's something about hunger that Smith Wigglesworth said. There's something about thirst and hunger that will cause God to pass over a million people just to get to you. Come on, somebody. God does everything. John Wesley said, God does everything and everything by prayer and by hungry people. He said, give me 100 men full of the fire of God and that are hungry for Jesus, and I'll take the world by storm. Come on, somebody. Amen. But that's the one thing that Indiana needs. That's the one thing that the American church has got to have. Come on, somebody. We have radical Islam that they're willing to blow their babies up, blow themselves up. We got radical Islam who are willing to do anything and anything. Come on, somebody. To just absolutely intimidate the entire world. And we got believers who can't even pray for 5 minutes a day. And these guys are praying 3-4 times a day. Fasting for 30 days a year. Come on. Come on, somebody. Amen. So I'm telling you, we're at a critical time. We need a revival. Everyone look at your neighbor and say, we need a revival. Come on, tell two people. Say, we need a revival. We need a revival of hunger in God's people. We're so worried about people's feelings anymore. Instead of saying, I'd rather offend you now that you make heaven than offend, excuse me, I'd rather offend you now that you make heaven than make you happy and you split hell wide open. Come on, somebody. Amen. And I'm telling you, I've ministered from one end of this country to the other. I've ministered in all 48 states of the Union here in the landmass. I've just not been to Alaska and Hawaii. And I'm telling you, it's not an Indiana problem. It's an entire country problem. The same problem is in Canada, is that we're so busy trying to be politically correct and nice that we're not doing something that's going to infect the entire city. Come on, somebody. Amen. Rochester's not going to get saved by being nice. I said, yeah, Rochester's not going to get saved by being nice. The only thing that's going to impact Rochester is the presence of God that's on hungry and thirsty people. Come on, somebody. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. The greatest revival that Indiana has ever seen is just on the horizon. I prophesy to you tonight, the greatest revival this entire state has ever seen is just before us. And you can be a spectator and go to someone else's church, or it can be right here in New Life. Come on, somebody. It doesn't go to the swiftest or the wisest or the wealthiest, but it goes to the hungriest person. I mean, not too many years ago, there were a few guys that got born again that used to be drug dealers in Alabama. I may have told this last year. But these guys, they were just hungry for God. They went and got born again. They had been drug dealers for years. lived in this apartment in the basement, so to speak. And when they got saved, they went and they got a bunch of worship. The pastor gave them just a handful of worship. And they would listen to that worship for hours. They used to get high for hours. And so they said, I'm going to do the same thing for God. Come on, talk to me. So they would worship the Lord 4 hours a night and just till they all fell on the floor. God's honest truth. These three guys. And they would just worship God and just worship God until they just fell out under the power. And one night, after about 2 weeks of this, hey, come on up. Come on up. Tell us what God's doing. Are the others coming too? They're on their way? Okay. We want to hear. Did you get to pray for anybody? Come on, tell us what happened. Come on up here. Come on, give them a big hand as they come. Come on. Sue? Which one's Sue? Ah, she's excited. Ah, come on, well, lady. Ah, I love her. I love it. Come on, come on. Is this exciting? Come on. Woo. So, have you guys ever done anything like this before? Have you ever done anything like this? No? How about you? Have you, you, nothing like this? Okay. So, tell us, give us a good testimony. What happened?
Well, I think the one that touches my heart is the very last people that we talked. I mean, I was running in Walmart, dragging, getting people down. I was like, we're praying for you. This changed. I mean, before we had two guys, before we even got into the store, I was like, hey, you guys. And one's name was Julio, and the other's name was Juan. I said, do you have any pain in your body? The Lord just healed me, and I've got to pray for you. And they were saying, well, we don't have anything wrong with us, and you know, Julio was like, and I said, well, can I touch your heart? You have a heart issue. And so I touched his heart, and he said, how did you know I have high blood pressure? And wow. I'm like, I don't know you had high. Wow. I was thinking of another heart issue. Yeah. But I didn't say that to him.
Yeah. Wow.
And then his friend Juan, he was just a happy-go-lucky guy, and so I just blessed him. But the one, we prayed for several people, and the one that blessed me was this little boy. We prayed for his dad, and his father had leukemia and sclerosis of the liver. So we prayed for him to be a stand-in for his father. And the little boy was really interested, and so I touched him, and I just began praying for him. And I prayed, you know, I said, well, what, you know, what's your name? And his name is Connor, if you can think, you know, pray for him. He just started third grade, and I just began praying over him in the spirit and just, you know, asking that God would just bring, oh, Connor's the one that's got it going on. We're going to be friends with Connor this year, and the teacher's going to have favor, and she's going to love on you, and just praying over him, and he began to cry. And he just, after we were done praying, he just kept with his eyes closed, just in tears in his eyes. And of everybody we prayed for, that blessed me more than anything.
So. Come on, somebody. Is that awesome?
You have a testimony?
No. Did you have a testimony?
Okay. Yeah. We actually, when we went in, I've never seen Walmart so bare in all my life.
Oh, no.
I mean, I've been to Walmart in the middle of the night, and there are more people there.
Yeah.
And so if there were 40 people, 30 of them was employees.
Wow.
I mean, and so everybody was, you know, ducks in a pond.
Yeah, wow.
Just pick them up. We actually prayed for several people. one was probably the best, is we had to chase her down. Actually, we didn't chase her down, but she was in a little motor scooter, so she couldn't get too far away. We asked to pray.
The looks we got.
Yeah, I love it.
We asked to pray for her, and she's like, oh, sure, sure, sure. And she just kept right on going. She wasn't going to stop no matter what we did.
Yeah, right now.
And wow. I think we passed her five times. She was with another lady that we probably passed six. I'm like, you know what, we're going to pray for the other lady because we keep passing her. We turned around to pray for her, and the one in the wheelchair was Peggy. And we finally, she's like, Peggy, get over here, get over here. And she's like, I'm not, you're not praying for me in the store. No. And she's not from here. Oh. I said, well, here, look, this is what we'll do. You look at this top right here, and I'll look at it with you. So I'm looking at the tops, and we're praying for Peggy and her breathing problems.
Wow.
And she still gave us funny looks, but doesn't matter. God's good, and we still prayed for her.
That's right.
Amen. Amen. Come on, give him a big hand. Do you have one, too?
I just, this was way out of my comfort zone. My wife would have been fine, but it was way out of my comfort zone.
Wow.
But God blessed, and we prayed for a lot of people in it. One that touched me, too, was a Walmart employee. And I said, can we pray for you? And she said, yeah. She said, pray for me to have a new job. And I said, well, then it got around to we prayed for her husband. Yeah. Wasn't it her husband?
No, it was her son.
Her son. Chris. And we prayed for him. Yeah. And then I said, well, we pray for you, too, that you'll have a blessed job, and if it's this one, fine, and if not, you'll go somewhere else.
That's good, though.
Praise
you got
God.
Out of your comfort zone,
yeah,
man.
Yeah, I did.
That's great. Go for it, Dave.
We prayed for quite a few people. The one lady, what was her name? She was deaf. First, she wouldn't let us pray for her, and we were like, is there anything we can pray for you for? And she kind of walked away, and we noticed the wire. And yeah. She's like, oh, so you have a hearing aid? And she's like, yeah, I'm deaf. So she let us pray for her. We couldn't touch her, you know, but and that was cool. Then here comes a guy and a lady that we know from a different church, and he's got this oxygen thing. I was like, I forgot that I met him a while ago, you know. And I was like, so what's this here about, you know, because he's got the hose. He's like, he's got COPD. And I said, well, you're going to be healed right now from that, you know? And so we prayed for him.
Yeah.
And I told him, I said, every day when you wake up, claim that healing. No more COPD. Don't sit there and say that you have COPD because you don't have it. Yeah. You know, I said, just claim that. I mean, it was pretty awesome.
That's great.
We got to pray for one of the female workers there. Her name was Angel. So we got to touch an angel. It was pretty cool. I told her that.
You know,
so. So anyhow, we prayed for her. She was sick. So like I say, we got to pray for her, and it was just an awesome time. Just in that 15, 20 minutes we were gone, as many people that got touched, wow, we need to be doing this more often.
Come on.
Amen.
How about you? Did you get to pray for
you? Yeah, I mean, my job was made a lot easier because Brad knows everybody in this place. Really, the biggest thing that stood out to me was there was, at least with us, there was an astounding lack of physical need. We'd walk up to somebody and they'd be like, oh no, I'm fine. You know, nothing hurts. Don't worry about it.
That's
but
good.
They, you know, all of them
were
still,
you nervous?
Not really. No, I deal with people in work.
Well, cool. Awesome. That's great.
But they, all of them still let us pray for them and just pray for them in their life and their day and their, you know, and that was cool. I guess.
Great.
Cool. Bless them. Come on. Give them all a big hand. Thanks you guys. Bless you. Bless you, bless you, bless you. Fun, huh? I haven't done that in a long time. Wow. Everyone say thirst and hunger. Jesus says, he that hungers and thirsts, he shall be
filled,
right? Two other scriptures I want to give to you. Look at the last verse of the Bible, Revelation 22. So Revelation 22, verse 17. These are some of the last verses of the entire Bible. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him who hears say, come. Right? And then it says, and let him who is thirst, or him who thirsts, or him who is thirsty, come, right? And whoever desires, let him take of the water of life freely. Amen? So here, I mean, God talks about thirst, thirst, thirst. The whole Old Testament. Jesus talks about it in John 7. Look over in John 7, last verses. John 7. This is where we're going to end up tonight. Thank you, Lord. John 7, 37. On that last day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, if anyone thirsts, let him come unto me, and I'll make it easy for you, and I'll make you drink. Is that what he says? No. If you're thirsty, he says, you come and drink. And he who believes in me, as the scriptures said, out of his heart or out of his belly will flow rivers of living water. But here, it doesn't begin with a river. It actually begins with thirst. I'll say that again. It doesn't begin with a river. It begins with thirst. I picked those six people because I saw it in a vision in my heart of those six people. And I saw those six people as hungry people that God wanted to use. Now, I'm not saying they're the hungriest, but I'm just saying that there was a hunger on the inside of them. There was a thirst for God to flow through them. I mean, you could hear it as they spoke. Now, listen, here's the cool thing. The more the river flows out of you, the hungrier and thirstier you get. Come on, isn't that cool? So the more the river went out of you, as soon as you got out of your comfort zone, right, brother? I mean, you got out of your comfort zone, the nervousness, your knees are having fellowship with each other. You're like, oh, God, rapture time is perfect right now. This is, dear Jesus, take me out right now, God, you know? You know, I mean, all these thoughts are going through your head. But what happens is you have to draw on the well that's on the inside of you. You have to draw from the inside of you, no matter where you are or what you're doing. And let me tell you something, that some of the greatest miracles we have ever witnessed in our whole ministry have all taken place when I felt the least. I'll say that again. When I felt the least, that's when I had the greatest miracles ever in our whole ministry. Some people, you know, like they'll see a miracle like the woman I showed last night in Wisconsin, or we've had several others. I've raised two people from the dead before. You know, someone was like, oh, wow, were you just like floating? I'm like, no, I was actually tired. I was jet lag and I wasn't thinking too spiritual at the moment. But see, there was something about it was the hunger. It was the thirst on the inside of me. Come on, somebody. Amen. So it's that well that you've poured into. You've poured into. You love God. You worship God. You pray. You read your Bible. You think about it. You think about spiritual things. You think about Jesus. You're thinking on the kingdom. Come on, somebody. And now God wants to activate you. That's what tonight is all about, is about activating the hunger. Come on, right? It's activating the hunger. Some of us have sat in these seats for decades. Come on. And Rochester's still not coming. I say it like this. I grew up on a farm, so I can say it like this. My stepdad, he had over 900 acres. So we had about 900 acres on our farm. Not a big farm, but a pretty good size farm. And never one time did he come to me and say, Tom, we're going to do something different this year. We're going to put some worship music on in the barn. We're going to have some soaking music play, and we're going to have some lights, strobe lights going in the barn. And we're going to have some ushers standing outside, waiting outside the barn. We're going to have intercessors just praying in the spirit like this, all around the front of the barn. We're not going to go get the harvest. We're just going to call it in, and it's just going to come somehow by my hand waving, and prayer is going to somehow do it. How come we don't see that in Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, or Acts? We never see that modeled ever one time. It's quiet in this Presbyterian church tonight, isn't it? We never see that modeled once by Jesus, by any of the 12, by any of the 70, come on somebody, by the 120, by the 3,000, or the 5,000. They all knew, like every farmer, if you want the harvest in the barn, you got to go get it. Come on somebody. You could be dumb as a box of rocks and figure this out. Come on somebody. I mean, you don't have to be the brightest bulb of the bunch to figure this out. That the harvest doesn't come in because the barn is painted, or the music is playing, or the intercessors are whipping, or the shofars are blowing, or the flags are whipping. Come on somebody. I've never been in church where people came in and said, I heard the shofar, I gotta come to this church. Never. I just have never been in a church. Come on somebody. And it's not going to happen here in Rochester. Come on, somebody. We were talking about, you know, Randy and I were talking about in the truck yesterday. We were talking about reaching out to somebody at work, and somebody, you know, if you want to catch fish, you got to go to the lake. You know what I mean? You got to go where the fish are. Come on, right? There's no fish in here. So if you want to catch fish, you got to go out where the fish are. Come on, somebody. So we sent six people out to go fishing just now for the last hour, right? Come on, somebody, right? So they were fishing, and it's the same exact same thing, is that every single one of us, now this is not nothing, Lord, like I thought I was going to preach tonight, okay? But I just really have this burden on my heart. I really feel that this is a word from heaven for New Life, is that we've got to go get it. Come on, right? I'm telling you, you know, I'm sorry, the old movie of Kevin Costner's a lie. If you build it, they'll come. No, if you build it, they'll watch you build it, and then they'll still stay away. Come on, somebody. Because it's not a matter of building it and they'll come. It doesn't matter how. We can have 11 million intercessors, and the harvest is still not going to come in. It's not going to come by intercessors. It's got to come by workers. So one last scripture. I lied to you. Go over to Luke chapter 11, all right? One last verse. Y'all still love me, right? So sorry, Luke chapter 10. Now, let me just say this to you as you're going to Luke chapter 10. I guarantee you, all six of these people, their hearts were beating heavy when they went out. Every one of them, including if it was me, I would mind same thing, right? One person said, we're going to go out and evangelize. I'm nervous. My heart's beating fast. I said, no, it's just the anointing. I said, what you're feeling is the anointing. Because everybody feels that same thing. But all six of them now that they've gone out, their mind says, that wasn't so bad. Right? Isn't that true? Your mind then says, I did it. It's not so bad. Just like the first time you got the baptism of the Holy Spirit and you spoke in tongues. I mean, it looked like a mountain so big that even God couldn't climb it. Like, how can I get this tongues thing? Come on, somebody. But once by hunger you climb that, you're like, hey, that was pretty easy, actually. It was a lot easier than my mind said it was. Come on, is that true? So the enemy plays with your mind. Just like I preached on Sunday, it's all by faith. Right? So Luke 10. After these things, the Lord sent out 70 others also. And he sent them two by two before his face into every city and place where he himself was about to go. And he said to them, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few, right? Therefore, keep bathing the harvest in prayer and keep interceding over the harvest and just keep bathing it and soaking it and soaking it and soaking it, and it'll just come into the barn. Isn't that what the red part of your Bible says? Oh, he said, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Pray therefore the Lord of the harvest to what? Isn't it funny that Jesus Christ, the head of the church, said, pray that workers go get it, and we don't do that. We pray for the harvest to come in. I'll just say it to this church over here. Isn't it funny? Jesus told us how to do this thing. He told us how to do it. He gave us the whole plan. I mean, those of you guys who work on a, you know, ladies who work on a job, could you imagine if you're training someone, you got this person in training, now do this, fold it like this, lift it up this way, and they say, no, I'm not going to do that. I know a better way. Right? And that's what we've done in the church. Jesus Christ, the head of the church, says, pray that the Lord would throw laborers out into the harvest to go get it. And we say, no, we're going to keep bathing the harvest. We're going to keep interceding for the harvest. But Jesus said, no, listen, the harvest is already white. It's already ripe. Right? It's ready, right? You know, I mean, here we are, it's August. The harvest is out there getting ready right now in the natural, right? You understand? You drive out of the church, you can see the corn stalks are getting ready. You know, you can see the wheat is starting to bend, you know, the heads of the wheat start to go down. You know, harvest time's coming. Come on. That's not the time to start watering it. Come on, talk to me. That's the time to go what? Go get it. Come on, just go get it. All you got to do is just go get it. Come on, right? So here he says, go therefore, and he says, pray there for the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into the harvest. Go your way, I send you as lambs amongst wolves. Oh, that's a wonderful promise. Thank you, Jesus. That's not in your confession packet, I promise you right there. Carry neither money bag, knapsack, sandals, greet no one along the road, but whatever house you enter, now watch this. Sorry, is that still whistling? Is it better? Okay. Whatever house you enter, first say peace to this house. And if a man of peace or a son of peace is there, your peace will rest on it. If not, it'll return to you. Now watch this. In the same house, or remain in the same house, eating and drinking such things as they give, for the laborer is worthy of his wages. Do not go from house to house. So what is most evangelism today? We bathe it in prayer and we go house to house. Jesus says, what did he just say? What's the last words? Say it out loud.
Do not go.
So what is most evangelism today? We go from house to house. Jesus says, pray that people will go get the harvest. Come on, somebody. And he says, what does he say in the last verse here? But that's what we do. So we're doing exactly the opposite of what we're being trained by Jesus. Exact opposite. And we're not getting results and we're frustrated. Come on, somebody. But if we do it the way he said, listen, pray that people will get up and get thrust out into the harvest. And not only that, but look for the man of peace or look for the one that's hungry. Now Jesus says, remain in that house. Don't keep going house to house. This is not another notch in your belt. Stay in that house. Now watch this. Next verse. Whatever city you enter and they receive each such things that are there, and heal the sick that are there and say to them, the kingdom of God has come near to you. Come on, right? So he says, stay in that one house. Stay with that one hungry person. Come on, right? Today we've got evangelism that mount up numbers of hundreds and millions of people, and yet they recount the same people that they already prayed for last year and the year before and the year before and the year before. But if you look at church attendance in America, since the year 2000, we're down 40%. But according to some people's statistics, they're up hundreds of millions and trillions and stuff like that. But how could that be? Come on. Come on. I mean, really, come on, think about it. If we've gone down 40% for the last 15 years, how could that possibly be these numbers that they're saying? Maybe what it is people are saying a prayer, but they're really not becoming a disciple. Maybe instead of just praying a prayer, we need to stay with the one and disciple that one and heal that one and cast out his demons or whatever it might be. Come on, somebody. And stay with the one, like Jesus taught us in Luke chapter 10. What do you think? But this whole thing comes back to the hungry. Will you put that song on for me, Holy Ghost? It comes back to the thirsty. So that's what these meetings are about. Pastor Rick and I talked about having some meetings where just people would just get hungry for God again. Just get thirsty for God's presence. Amen. Just where people just get thirsty for the presence of God. And that's what this week is about. This week is not about you just feeling better in your back or your knee or your leg or your stomach. It's not just about your diabetes going away or your blood pressure coming down. It's about coming together to get thirsty again. Come on, somebody. That's what we talked about. I mean, your pastor said we're only going to have two revival set of meetings in 2016. This was the second one that God spoke to him about for this whole year. We don't get a do-over for 2016. This is it. Once the year closes out, that's it. It's gone. And I'm telling you that God is looking for a remnant of people. Oh, I know what I started to tell you. I started to tell you that story when those guys walked in about the guys in Alabama, right? I didn't finish that. So these three guys that were drug dealers listen to the worship music every single night, just like this, and just soak in the presence and weep and laugh and fall on the floor. And one night after about a week of that, of 3-4 hours a night, they heard a knock at the door. And they went to the door and they opened the door, and these same guys that used to buy drugs came and said, "Hey, we came to get high tonight." So these three new Christian guys go, "Well, come on in." So they reached into their wallets to go ahead and get some money out to buy some drugs. And the two, three Christian guys went and said, "Oh no, tonight this is a free one. You get high tonight for free." So these guys said, "Woo, this is going to be good." So they went and they said, "Well, just sit down right there and we'll get the stuff out." And so the one Christian guy went over and turned on the worship music, and the worship started playing. And he started cranking it up and started filling the house. And the presence of God started to fall in that little apartment. And these two, three guys sitting on the couch fell off, and some of them went into deliverance. Demons coming out of them. And so these guys are laying hands on them. They're getting saved, baptized in the Holy Ghost. And this went on for 4 hours. And then they got up and they're like, "I'm different." So they said, "Well, let's come back and do it again tomorrow." Okay. So they did this every night. So the second night, there was a knock at the door. These guys said, "Hey, we came to get some drugs. We came to get high. Come on in. Sit down right here." And they did this every single night for a month. And after a month, there was about 30 young people in this apartment, packed every night, just worshiping God till everyone fell. That was the service. There was no preaching, there was no offertory, or there was no nice thing. It was just, we worship till we pass out. And if you don't fall out, we'll lay hands on you till you do fall out. Because that's all they knew, was you get drunk in the Spirit and you fall out, and that's the service. That's it. They were just so thirsty for God. So a pastor heard about it and said, "You can use my church." And they said, "Wow, that's great." So they started just putting this worship music on every night, 4 hours, just worshiping God. All these young people would come in. By the end of the service, there'd be drugs laying on the altar. There'd be guns. Some gangbangers come in, lay their guns on the altar. Alcohol, pornography, all of it would be on the altar. Come on, somebody. And it went from those two guys, and it grew in a matter of a year to almost 1,000 young people. Come on, somebody. And it's a revival that's growing in Birmingham, Alabama, just by looking for hungry people. Come on, somebody. Amen. Hallelujah. So tonight, don't get into a big hurry. If you need to go, we release you. We bless you. Don't feel obligated. But tonight, like I said earlier, there's something about learning the art of waiting on the Lord. Sometimes we're in such a big hurry that, you know, God's not on our timetable. Sometimes it takes God a while to work stuff out. Sometimes we're a little hard-headed. Tell your neighbor, say, "That's you." Yeah. All right? So sometimes it takes God a while to get your hard head out of the way. Amen? And so just all over the house tonight, if you could just stay for 10, 15 minutes, just soak in God's presence. And then don't forget tomorrow night, 7 o'clock. Tomorrow morning, 11 o'clock right here. There's no worship. We're just going to go ahead and share the word. And we're just going to go and pray and bless people all over Rochester. So 11 o'clock, okay? So if you can come. But just all over the house, close your eyes. Just lift your hands right now. Father, tonight, may your presence fill this house. May people be touched with the fire of God. May people be touched with the glory of God. May people become so thirsty for the presence of God like never before. Just turn it up, guys. Just turn it up. Just fill the house.